Hello everyone and welcome to The Stagey Place, the podcast where we hear chat to theatre makers who make the magic that you see on stage. In today's episode, we are joined by Emily Suzanne Lloyd, who is the director of The Mad Ones, which premieres at the Old Joint Stock Theatre in Birmingham from the 10th until the 20th of April, which means that if you are listening to this episode on the day of release, you will be able to go and see The Mad Ones in Birmingham. I had a wonderful chat with Emily a couple of weeks ago, so I really hope that you enjoy this episode, episode 143, with Emily Suzanne Lloyd. Hello, Emily, and welcome to The Stagey Place today. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you? It's great to be on the podcast. I feel like I've listened to it so many times, so it's strange to be a voice on it.
I know, it's so nice to have you on today, Emily. I'm doing really well, thank you. But obviously, for people who have been listening to podcasts for a very long time, especially in those early days, you, throughout the lockdown, had a business, didn't you? Was it The Little Theatre?
Yeah, it was Your Little Theatre. Really? And it's so funny you bring it up, because literally the other day, someone came up to me and was like, this might be really strange, but were you that person that did the theatre boxes during lockdown? And I was like, yeah, so it's good to know that it's still sort of around. So yeah, during lockdown, created these boxes. And you were actually one of my very first customers and one of my very first press reviews. I made these boxes and you'd get a mystery play. And then obviously during lockdown, a lot of actors were out of work. So a lot of actors, the very creative people, created all these lovely little things like math, and there was lots of food and really great things that went in these boxes. And yeah, it sort of went a bit viral. It got a bit crazy actually.
Yeah, and I remember you did a trailer, well, an audio trailer, which we obviously put in to those episodes of the podcast. So if anybody ever listens back to those early episodes when the podcast was, you know, only growing out of the seeds of my imagination and what I wanted to do, they'll be able to hear your voice in some of the middle sections of those interviews. But yeah, I obviously, you know, we followed each other on Instagram and social media and everything since then. And only recently I was like looking through all my like drawers and everything, trying to like clear out stuff because I've got so many programs and theatre memorabilia. And I've still got one of the Your Little Theatre boxes, and it had like tea bags in it. And there was like a pen from Red Ladder, I think it was. And yeah, just like the scripts and stuff. And I was just like, it was such a good thing to have. And like you say, because they are the mystery boxes, you never really knew what you were getting. So yeah, thank you so much for setting that up. Obviously today we're not, you know, talking completely about Your Little Theatre, but I just thought I'd say, you know, some people might be able to have heard your voice in those early episodes of the podcast. But Emily, today we are here and you are here with me talking about The Mad Ones, which is at the Old Joint Stock Theatre in Birmingham from the 10th of April until the 20th of April. And Emily, you are the director of the show. It is a musical, which is on Broadway, and it's now coming to the UK. And Emily, can you tell us a little bit about how you got involved with this project?
Yeah, of course. So anyone who knows me and has ever worked for me or seen my work knows that musicals is something that I haven't done yet, but I've always wanted to do. It's one of the things where I've always been scared of a musical. I don't know, there's so many moving parts, and like, we're so fortunate that our version of The Mad Ones has got a three-piece band in. And I love music, and I've done actor muso shows, and I've done children's shows, so there's always musical elements in it. And also, I can't sing to save my life, so I don't have the talent to do it. But I've wanted to do a musical for so long, and literally at 2024, I was like, I really want to direct a musical. And then I started working at the Old Joint Stock, and James, who is the theatre manager here, James Edge, sort of told me about this incredible musical and trusted me with it, and I just fell in love with it. It is mad, but it's just a brilliant story about young people, and it's got two fabulous female leads that we've cast, and also their characters are really strong. But yeah, it's my first production at the Old Joint Stock, my first production in the Midlands, so I'm really excited to start directing it.
Yeah, and we are talking at the moment on the 20th of March. You've got about 2.5 weeks until the show opens. Can you tell us a little bit about where you're at right now within the production process?
Yeah, so if anyone knows the Old Joint Stock, you might know that it's been here for 20 years, and it normally, for any shows, we've done little big productions like Little Shop of Horrors here at Avenue Q. However, we only have a 7-day rehearsal.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah, So all our productions do, even our big winter shows that run for 4 weeks, we only really have a 7-week rehearsal because we're not funded, and so it's the only way to really make it commercially viable. So in terms of where I am 2.5 weeks out, normally it'd be like I'm in the rehearsal room. I've actually finished all my props, all the costume. I finished working with the set designer, sort of finished working with the lighting designer. We've cast it. The musicians are learning their music. The actors are learning their lines, but we don't come all together until next week. So yeah, a bit nervous because it's like lots of moving parts, but everyone's doing their own thing, and then it comes together for 7 very intense days.
And that's the thing as well. I guess when it's very intense and you've got a week to rehearse the whole thing, it does mean that everybody is on their A game and they know exactly what they want to do. You will have done so much prep, obviously, I'm guessing, before the rehearsal period to know exactly what you want to knuckle down on each of those days leading up to the opening night on the 10th of April. And Emily, we're going to talk a lot about the Mad Ones today in this episode. But first of all, what I want to do is ask you a little bit about your pathway into theatre, I guess, and that has led you now to be here at the Old Joint Stock in Birmingham. So, Emily, can you tell me a little bit about how you got involved with theatre and the training that has led up to where we are today?
Yeah, of course. What a lovely question. I feel like I'll make it short and concise, but make sure you get the whole idea of it. So mine starts when I was really young, actually. I had a bit of a speech delay, and also my mum and dad loved them to pieces. And I always performed, but also on a Saturday, drama classes are dead cheap to pop your child in. So put me off to drama classes, and I'm neurodiverse, so I was never smart at school. I always really tried, but I was never smart. However, I was really good at acting. I was really good at dancing. It was like what I felt I was good at. And I was really fortunate when I was 5 years old. Somewhere still in YouTube, you can find this advert. There was a landmine advert from the Princess Diana charity. And I was 5 years old. I got casted in it and I got blown up, basically. And my dad told me, and I remember, I think it was like my first memory, like, you're getting paid so much to do this. 5 years old, I'm getting paid loads of money to be blown up, and the cast and crew are incredible. My dad works at a factory and things, and he was like, this is so lucky to have. And I just sort of since then, from a very young age, sort of was like tunnel vision, like, I want to be an actor. However, I'm sure you know this about me, Elliot, as well. I'm very organized. And, in the playground, I would be the one directing mums and dads or the nativity or something like that. But I guess I didn't really know that that's what I was supposed to do. And when I was 16, I was very fortunate to get into Lipa Sixth Form. So I was in the first ever year group of that. So I moved from Leeds to Liverpool, which was a great experience. God bless myself, I can't sing. And people go, oh, no, you can't. No, I cannot sing. And at Lipa, our first show was Rent. And I
Oh.
wish I could be in that audition room. Yeah, I tried to sing Go Out Tonight. God, the panel's ears must have been bleeding. It was quite a like high school musical sort of college Lipper it was. The cast list got put out for Rent, and I'm like, chorus member, surely I'll get that. Going all the way down, and it says Emily Lloyd, assistant director. At the time, I was livid. It was like I felt like I was in my Sharpay moment, like, oh my gosh, haven't got a role, playing assistant director. But it was the best thing. My teacher, Eddie Chin, had me as the assistant director, and I loved it. But then I think I was still too shy to admit that because I'd worked so hard and was an actor. So I still went to drama school, but I was sort of telling everyone that, I want to be an artistic director. So like acting is like the thing to get me there. Sort of lying to myself. And then in my 3rd year at drama school, once again, an amazing teacher, Seb Hardcombe, and the Dot Collective came in and did a Christmas show with us. And I got the opportunity to direct Elves and the Shoemaker. And my training was great. I always say this when people ask my interviews. My training was great. But that was the best 3 weeks of my training, was directing a show. And that's when I was sort of going, that's probably not the case. I should be enjoying the acting more than the directing. And then heading into my final year of drama school, what didn't really want to be an actor, and sort of directed and produced since. So sort of a bit of a wonky path to get there, but I haven't looked back, and I don't miss acting, which I think says a lot about it.
And I guess also when you are going to a Lipa Sixth Form and you saw that you were an assistant director, did you really know what the roles and responsibilities were going to be? And then what was it actually about in that production of Rent? There must have been a point where you were like, actually, I have really enjoyed this, even though you maybe didn't want to say because you said you felt quite shy and, oh, I don't want to, confess that I love this. But there must have been a moment in that process where you were like, this is quite fun.
Yeah, it was a moment where I didn't make it to the show, but Eddie and Steph, my teachers, gave me the opportunity to direct Take Me or Leave Me, and I loved it. And I loved having that. I'm a very collaborative director and producer, and I love being able to chat and work out the pieces, but then actually give it to someone else and then change it. And even though it got completely cut what I directed, because obviously I was very young at the time, I was 16, and at the time I was quite devastated by that. But with that hindsight, I can see why it got cut. Because God bless them, I was making them crawl on the floor and they were having to belt these notes. It wasn't really being a helpful director, but it was that moment. And also watching the show, but with that director lens, oh, it makes me well up. Like I always cry at my shows, not because I'm like so proud of myself, but I'm so proud of like these actors and these. The lighting designer and the stage manager, and like how all these pieces come together. And that's what I love about it. It's basically putting pieces together and they're all coming together because I don't have all the answers.
So even in sixth form, even though you had the rejection of not being in the cast first off, you also had that rejection of the direction of Take Me or Leave Me wasn't going to be used. So actually, you were really, already feeling what rejection was like within this industry, which I guess is quite hard when you're 16 years old and, something that you've directed isn't being used. However, the director and everybody else in that creative team allowing you to have a moment where you could direct something. Maybe they were just testing to see whether or not you really did enjoy it, is really, actually, I think, the most beneficial thing.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think it's having that freedom to play because I've been so fortunate to assist and shadow so many directors. But the directors that really stick out to my mind is when they let the people shadowing them or assisting them speak, because that's how you learn, is by having that moment to be creative. Because 9 out of 10 times when I direct something, the idea that I have in my head does not work. And that's completely valid. And I think so many directors feel like that. So I was really fortunate that when I was at Lipper at 16 to have that. Plus, we did like bonker stuff. We did like Sarah Kane. I had to direct a scene from Sarah Kane from Blasted at 17. It's sort of like a crazy thing that opens your creativity and you learn a lot about. I remember once again, it was Eddie sort of saying about consent and all that lot. So I was very fortunate from a young age that even though at the time I didn't know I wanted to go through directing, them sort of seedlings were planted. So yeah, when I was at Lipper, it was great to learn about the directing. And funny enough, the choreographer of the Mad Ones is Ellie Begley, who I went to Lipper with.
And so we must now, Emily, talk about the Mad Ones. Again, we are about 2.5 weeks off from the show opening at the Old Joint Stock Theatre. Tell me a little bit then about this show. You were saying that you haven't stopped thinking about the show, you've been listening to the music and can't stop listening to it. What is it about this show that people should come and watch? Because maybe people haven't heard of it, because, like you said, it's been on Broadway. It didn't do that well, but it's coming here to the UK. Why should people take a chance on the Mad Ones?
I've listened to a lot of musicals and I'm a huge musical theatre fan. And I think this is one of the most beautiful soundtracks, modern, contemporary style. It has all the twists and turns. It's so drawn back in the sense that it's just a violin, a guitar, and piano, and it's that sort of sound to it. And also, it's a belter of a show in both of it being very energetic, but it's a belty show. Like the four actors that we've got are incredible, but I'll be honest, it's a knackering show. They're belting from the start to the end. And also, it is so smart. And I think that's why it's a hard show. Because it's so smart, because it's set in a car, and obviously in theatre, at fringe theatre, you can't have a car. So how do you do that? And also, a musical based in a car is very static, very boring. So what do you do to break out of that? And the writing, it calls back on itself, and it gives funny references, and it's just smart. And I think that's why I like it. I like things that you have to think about. It's not handed to you on a plate. I think there's quite a lot of work at the minute where it's really too clean what it is versus the Mad Ones. There's some twists and turns, and you have to be paying attention to catch them.
So obviously with these twists and turns, when you first listened to the show and you've read the book of the show, was there a moment in the show that you were like, I'm really excited to get into the rehearsal room and look at staging this?
That's such a good question.
Without
There's
giving
quite a
any spoilers
few.
away.
Without giving it, there's one song towards the end that I'm so excited because it's so raw for a musical theatre song. So that one definitely. But there's also The Mad Ones is one of the songs in it. And it is so good. Like the two girls at that point in the script are basically deciding what to do. Do they get in the car and drive away, or do they stay in their normal lives? And once again, twists and turns. The song is quite long, it's about 7 minutes. So of course, there's going to be lots of developments, but it starts off with them being drunk and being really friendly. Then there's maybe a bit of a fallout, then there's a bit of a makeup, and then there's a dance break, and then that goes into something else. And so, that for me as a director makes me so excited. And also, sorry, there's actually another one which I'm really excited for, because it goes, something happens at the start, but then they go to prom, they have their graduation, they go to college, and it goes back to wherever the start was. And so as a director, that makes me so excited to make all them transitions in 5 minutes while they're singing. So yeah, it's quite a fun, fast-paced show.
And obviously we spoke already about the intense rehearsal period that you're going to have 7 days. Tell me a little bit about how you control the rehearsal room as an individual, as Emily, the director. What do you bring as a directorial style when you are going to be doing this rehearsal period for 7 days?
Yeah, all my training to this point has taught me that. Like, I think one of my other shows that you interviewed the writer for earlier, Woebegone, you know, that was a really similar. That was 6 days, and we opened with 4 and 5 star reviews. That was a 6 day process. Because I think that's, as a director, even though I'm in this great position at the minute of growing, of doing projects where we get 2 weeks rehearsal, but still doing ones where we've got a week rehearsal, and even 2 weeks is not that long, let's be honest. But sort of managing that room is that I say it on the first day of rehearsals, I feel like everyone must get sick of me. And I literally say, I do not know all the answers. I have no clue. I go, I have an idea, I have a shape in my mind, but I don't know where that goes in. And so it's not just the actor's responsibility, it's the musical director, the lighting designer, the costume designer, the set designer. I've got an associate director on this one, James, which is great. It's all of us to fill it in. Like, I never want to be the leader. And then it's just filtering them ideas through and making sure that the room, like, can have that creativity. And that's why I think all my work today, I have been able to do fast paced and with detail and it do well. So I hope I haven't jinxed that for this one. Because I think if you put the responsibility as the director that within 6 days, you're going to know every single beat off by heart, you're setting yourself up for failure. You need to trust that the rest of the room are going to be able to carry that and go, oh, what's this moment and idea? So yeah.
And I guess in a way, that's kind of how Rent went, basically, in Lipa, where it is a whole collaborative project in a way. Like you were saying in that answer, like with your set designer, with your lighting designer, with your musical director, you're opening up the space. Maybe it's because you've got this intense week, and like you say, you don't have all the answers. You want everybody in the room to bring their own things to it. Like you say, there's no leader of the pack. Everyone has their own part and can bring their own thing to it. That may just home into that intense rehearsal period where you're like, if anybody has any suggestions, bring them to the table and let's just try them. Obviously, you may not be able to try all of them because you've got a whole musical to get through. Is it a two-act musical?
Yes, it's a whole 90-minute piece. So yeah, it's two acts.
Yeah, so you've got quite a lot to get through, which is really exciting, I guess, in a way. And even though you've got those nerves of right now, the anticipation of getting through to the rehearsal period, there must be so much excitement over the fact that you don't really know what the finished product's going to be like because so many other people are going to bring their own stuff to the room.
Literally, Elliot, that's why I want it on like the bottom of my emails. Is like, that's how I like to work. Like, that's the magic of theatre. Like, that's why when people go like, oh, would you ever direct film or TV? I go, I don't think I could. Because the magic of theatre is that I can plan, but it's what happens in that room. And then even once we've, you know, hands off as the production team, it's then handing over to the actors. And I'm sure you have the same when you're doing your tech and stuff. It's like, it's now down and every night's different. For better, for worse. And that's the exciting thing about theatre is that it's never the same. So why should the creative process be like that? Is sort of my 50 pence.
And it kind of comes into a little bit. I've just wanted to read what you put at the bottom of your emails because it's really nice and it's something that I don't think many people really realize as a freelancer. We work on our own schedules, but I'm just going to read out, if that's okay, what you put at the
Yeah,
bottom
of
of your
course.
emails because it says, as a freelancer, I work part-time on multiple different projects, doing the hours that work best for me. Super important, we should just say, being self-care and not realizing that you don't have to be there at 10 p.m. answering emails when the person on the other side is certainly not going to be doing that. You continue by saying, I don't expect you to respond to my messages outside your own working hours. And finally, and this is the most important thing, take care of yourself. And that is exactly what I feel like you are going to be bringing throughout this whole process, from rehearsals to the show to post show. It just feels like I've not worked with you obviously in person, but I would love to in the future, because it feels like you would be the sort of person who would really want to take care of their whole cast and creative team. Sorry to just, compliment you there.
That honestly, I'm like welling up. That is so sweet. Like, yeah, that's exactly who I want to be. And you know, that's what sort of creative I want to be as well, is that people to trust you, but then also that trust to be two ways. And I think that mentality, because one bit of my journey I left out is I didn't get into drama school first try. So I went to Beau Feet's actor training, and that was Meisner. And Steph Morgan, she's a brilliant director and acting tutor. And she goes, "What do you need?" And not just in the fact of a character, but like as me, Emily, what do I need to do my best work? And that's different to me, that's different to you. So I always start rehearsals with that. So that's sort of stolen from her. And if she's listening, surprise, of like, what do you need? What do you need? Yeah.
Well, Emily, we have been talking today about the Mad Ones, which is at the Old Joint Stock Theatre in Birmingham from the 10th until the 20th of April. We'll have all of the dates on our episode notes. Wherever anybody is streaming this episode, they can go and click the hyperlink and they'll be sent straight to the website to book their tickets for the show. Now, Emily, before I let you go, I've got two final questions for you. They are the questions that we ask everybody who comes onto the podcast. And the first, we've kind of been talking a little bit about it, touching the surface throughout this episode, but it's about advice that you might have for people who are coming into this industry, wanting to work in the profession that you are in, so as a director. So, Emily, for you, what advice would you give to people who are coming into this industry as an early career director?
I know this is like so stereotypical, but never say no to an opportunity. Like, it's so ironic because I know you've just had Josie on, who did Rotten, and Rotten, with Ricky directing it last year, had a shadow opportunity as a director. So I shadow directed it. And it was an opportunity that I went for, and it was so eye-opening. It was one of the things where I was like, am I at the, you know, I was sort of crawling up to assistant director, but I learned so much by shadowing that room. Like, I know that my podcast will be coming out afterwards, but that show's going on a UK tour, so go and catch Rotten. It's incredible. But I think it's hard as a director, but I think say yes to everything, even if you're not sure if that's your type of show. Because I think a lot of directors go, I only want to do this, and I don't know what this is, you know, when they put themselves into a box. So I think it's say yes to everything. And scratch night, that's like the best place to start learning. You know, I did a few scratch nights right at the start, and I mean, I did the weirdest writing I could have ever got, but it made me be really creative, and I learned a lot from it.
And also the great thing about scratch nights is in 90%, 99% of cases, there's also feedback from the audience who are watching it there and then, whether or not that's to your face, or there's usually forms in these sorts of scratch nights where people can talk about every performance that's on that night. So I think, yeah, it's really important. So that is a fantastic piece of advice, Emily. And thank you so much for bringing that to the table and to the stage press. And also, it's just so nice to hear about weaving of like different guests and, you working with Ricky. And at the time of recording, we've released today's episode has been with Josie White. So it feels like this was meant to be that we did this interview today, Emily. We should move on to the final question of this podcast now, Emily. Obviously, you've listened to some episodes of the podcast, so you probably know what's coming up. It is the title of this podcast, that's the stage you place. And the final question of the podcast is where your stage you place is. So, Emily, for you, this could be a show that you've worked on throughout your whole career. It could be somebody who's giving you a chance to bring your work and creative vision onto stage, whether or not that's one of the teachers at Lippa Sixth Form or anybody throughout your career who has allowed you to create your work onto stage. Or, Emily, it could be a venue that has housed one of the productions that you have worked on. But, Emily, tell me this, whereabouts is your staging place?
Right, I do know this question was coming. Can I say two? Is that really bad if I say two?
No, the amount of people who say two, I'm
There was
absolutely.
like, so yeah, I have two. And they're funnily both groups of people. Because when I think of stagey places, I think of the community. So my first one is actually my drama school year group, my graduating year group. They're just amazing. Every single one of my year group from 2022 graduate, a lot of my first work is actually through them, of them going, I want to be a writer, can you direct it? Or I want to do this, can you produce it? And then also my closest friends, Derry and Joe, I used to live with them and we lived in a flat. and it was very stagey. And so when I think of a stagey place, it's funny enough, our old house. I was almost about to say my address, but yeah, our old house was like the stagey place, because we just talked about theatre all the time. And Zoe and Joe are very, they're both actors, so they're very dramatic as well. And Tess as well lived with us, and so it was a very stagey house.
That sounds wonderful, and a wonderful staging place to have to end this episode today, Emily. I want to thank you so much for taking time out to talk about The Mad Ones. Like we say, we're about 2.5 weeks out of the show opening, but we will have the hyperlink in our episode notes. So wherever anybody is streaming this episode of the platform, just click that link and they'll be able to buy tickets. It's in Birmingham. It's a wonderful city. I've been to the old joint stock before as well, to go and see some shows. I've seen one show there, but yeah, it's a wonderful venue that I've really enjoyed. It's got some really nice corridors actually, as you go to the theatre. So especially look out for that. It looks like you're in one of them at the moment, with a nice little Lion King art print in the
Yeah,
background.
we've got Dorothy as well and Toto. I've got loads behind me. It's a very, once again, this is a stagey place as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Emily, thank you so much for coming on today to talk about The Mad Ones.
Thank you.
And there we go. That was my interview with Emily Suzanne Lloyd, the director of The Mad Ones, which is playing at the Old Joint Stock Theatre in Birmingham from the 10th until the 20th of April. If you've enjoyed what you've heard in this episode and would like to book tickets for the production, you could do so via the hyperlink in our episode notes. So do make sure to check this one out in Birmingham. It's sure to be a great production from what we've heard from Emily in today's episode. If this is the first time you've been listening to The Stage Place, then welcome. And why not follow us on social media? We're on Instagram, TikTok, and X at The Stage Place. Join us next week when we'll have Sam McGregor, who returns to The Stage Place to talk about Truly Madly Boldly, which began life in the Edinburgh Fringe in 2023 and is returning in 2024. So, if you're joining us next week or whenever you'd like to join us again here on The Stage Place, my name's Ben Elliott. I hope you're keeping safe and staying stagey. Goodbye.